to the Generous Life Podcast. This is Lori Farquhar, president of NCF South Florida, and I have the honor of being here today with our CEO and co-founder, Mr. Stefan Tavigian.
Sounds so important.
I know.
Very impressed.
Yeah, me too.
With myself.
Not so much. Yeah. Today, we're really here to talk about our mission. And while the vision is a national vision for NCF.
Every person reached and restored through the love of Christ.
So the National Christian Foundation, all over the country, everybody's got that vision of every person reached and restored through Christ. We took our mission statement and really South Floridized it, mm-hmm. right? We spent some time coming up with this. And as a team, we really worked on this to come up as we were working on our strategy. And so our mission statement is, we redefine generosity and reimagine our communities. Mm. And I love that statement because I really feel like it reflects who we are and mm-hmm. what we do, mm-hmm. all the different things that we do. But maybe let's talk about it in two segments.
Okay.
So the first one being we redefine generosity. Tell us what that means to you.
Well, it's such an interesting term, generosity, because we hear it a lot. And we've often talked about internally here how that term has been hijacked over the years to meaning about money. So we see we read about or we see some family or a person and we go, wow, that is a very generous man, a very generous woman. And usually it's attached to some kind of significant charitable contribution. You know, someone's endowed a university or something. Wow, that's a very generous family. And that is true. I mean, you can't ignore that. That is obviously generous. But when you start looking at it through a biblical perspective, you begin to see that generosity is all-encompassing. We call it whole life generosity. In other words, everything about your life, the deeper you understand the love of Christ, which goes back to our vision statement, everything now begins to be filtered through living life as a giver and not a taker. Mm-hmm. So if I'm offended by a friend of mine and they've hurt my feelings, the act of generosity is to not only deal with it, but to forgive them. That's mm-hmm. forgiveness is an act of mm-hmm. generosity. You know, hospitality is an act of generosity. Taking your time and investing in another person. Many of our listeners mentor people. That's an act of generosity. So we start thinking about all those kinds of things. We've said in our environment oftentimes, and this would be an interesting thing for you as listeners to think about for a second, but at some point in your life, you've been on the receiving end of someone else's generosity. Mm-hmm. So stop and think about that in your life and go, sometime in your life, you were on the receiving end of someone's generosity. When I ask that question, what comes to your mind, Lori?
Mm-hmm. For me, though, the first thing that always comes to my mind is a mentor that I had in the corporate world. And he was super high up executive, and I was coming up the ranks, but he saw something in me that I didn't see. I didn't know why he was investing in me, but he saw something in me. And so he took, every time he was either in the area or if I was in New York, he took time out of it. He was super busy guy to meet with me and to give me, you know, to listen what was going on and then also to give me some pointers and advice. And it always meant something to me that he would take his time. And his wisdom and his business expertise, but it was really the time. It's like, I can't believe he's spending this time with me. And so I've tried to demonstrate that in my own career with others, you know, really investing in others and spending time with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a gift you have. I've watched you do that even with our own team here, that you've really taken time to invest in some of these young up-and-coming leaders and say, hey, let me sort of be that big sister for you and sort of guide you through this journey, you know, learning some lessons maybe, you know, you learn along the way. Mm-hmm. I think of a person who's one of our clients, and I remember asking her this question, and I asked her in front of her family, that we were sitting all together. And I, frankly, I asked everybody in the family the same question, but and they had received, they had inherited a significant amount of wealth. Mm. So I asked them this question thinking, well, obviously I know the answer. It's like, you know, you're on the receiving end of someone else's generosity. Can you think of something? It had been very easy to say yes when, you know, my father passed away and I inherited his estate. I mean, right. That would make sense.
Sure. You go,
yeah, okay. But I remember this person stopping and getting teary-eyed immediately, and she said, when my sister passed away in a car accident and my parents were preoccupied making funeral arrangements, our neighbors took me in and I had a safe place to sleep.
Wow.
And she said that with tears, and this was 30, 40 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I remember her son, who also inherited money, and I remember him saying, similar to your story, I remember when I came out of college and I started my first corporate job, and my boss took the time to invest in me, the fact right. that I even got the job.
Yeah.
You know, and they took time to mentor me and invest, and he said that with, you know, emotions and tears. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's the time, it's the people, it's being seen.
Yes.
It's being, it's the fact that you matter. It's not just, oh, I have some money. So when we talk about redefining generosity, we're hoping to build a culture, not just at NCF and within our team, but frankly, wherever we have an impact. And you know, yes, we're the National Christian Foundation of South Florida because this is where we're located. But honestly, we have clients all over the United States, and we watch grant money go all over the world.
Yes.
And so when we think about everywhere we touch, which goes back to our vision statement, every person reached and restored through the love of Christ, that everywhere we touch, that we're able to maybe have people imagine generosity in a new and fresh way. And it goes, when we talk about every person reach, it also means every person can be generous.
Yes.
You don't have to be rich to be generous.
Right.
And sometimes I've heard comments like, so I got to be rich to be a part of your organization, Stefan? Like to be a, to have an account at your thing, whatever you call it, I got to be rich? I go, no, you don't have to be. You have to be rich in your love for Christ. And even that, you may not come in very rich, but you hang out with us and we'll hopefully pour into you and God will make you rich. But the richness is beyond, you know, commas and zeros, as we often say. It is a journey that we go on. And the more we spend time with Him, Christ, understanding that love of Christ, the wealthier we become. So every day, I don't feel depleted. I actually feel wealthier.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dividend. Every day, you just got more and more love, more and more capacity, that kind of stuff. So redefining generosity is really an important phrase.
Well, one of the things that was a revelation for me when I first got engaged with the National Christian Foundation about 10 years ago was reading the book that we recommend that everybody read, The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. And I was like, wait a minute, God owns it all.
Mm-hmm.
He owns it all. He owns my time. He owns my relationships.
Yep.
He owns my resources. He owns my talent. He owns it.
Everything.
All. So what am I doing with it? And I remember one time you were telling a story about how you can't outgive God.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it all on the cross, right?
Right?
And so every time you're, you know, like grumbling or whatever about something that you have to do, it's like you just remember.
Yeah.
Hey, Stefan, I gave it all, right?
Yeah.
And you see Jesus on that cross with his arms wide open.
Remember that story.
Yeah.
And then that was a time in my wife's and I's time when we were contemplating whether to adopt a child that God had placed in our lives. And my wife, Lisa, was quick to go, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, don't really want to do that. I'm sort of looking forward to empty nest.
Right.
And so I'll share the story how I took a year and a half of me and God arguing. But one of my biggest reasons to not do it was I didn't want to be inconvenienced because I like to, you know, like, I want to go to a movie and not have to hire a babysitter. And it's such a lame excuse.
So important.
Because exactly to your point, he just looked at me and he sort of stretched his arms really wide like he was, you know, yawning or something. And, you know, he goes, yeah, I already know all about inconvenience. I was like, man, you always got the cross up your sleeve. You win every argument. So it was pretty funny. But, yeah, I think the redefining generosity, and I love what God has orchestrated here at NCF South Florida, because when you think of our three verticals, invest, equip, unite, each one of them is an expression of generosity. Mm-hmm. So invest is obvious. It's how do I invest in the kingdom of God? You know, hey, I got $1,000. I want to invest in my church. I want to invest in the local nonprofit. I want to invest in something international. But then equip is how do I take this talent, when you reference the treasure principle, mm-hmm. time, talent, treasure, how do I take this talent God has given me and begin able to invest it as well? And so that's also being generous. And then unite is an expression of generosity. Mm-hmm. We'll often say, in order for, like, we're all sitting around this table together, if we're all going to collaborate on something, that takes generosity, because it's not just one person's opinion rules the roost. It's like, okay, let's all look at something. And so we all have to give and take a little bit.
Right.
So the act of collaboration is a act of generosity. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm really, it's fun to watch what God has orchestrated here. And he is the architect of this invest, equip, unite kind of architecture we have here, and all of them point to this. Obviously, as we said earlier, they all point to the gospel, but they all point to this kind of redefining generosity, what it means to live a generous life. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. And it's fun to watch other people experience it, just like, you know, like as much as someone mentored you and showed you time. Mm-hmm. Now you get to reciprocate that. It's not only your time, but it's also how does Lori do life? Mm-hmm. So if someone's young, up-and-coming leader and they go, I want to look at people who are actually doing it and have done it for a long time, and I want to try to mimic them because they've set a good example. I mean, to me, that's also an act of generosity. Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, so, one of the other things we do all the time here is connect people. And that's an act of generosity, mm-hmm. because when you think about kind of the normal flow of things, you hold your connections kind of close to the vest.
Yeah.
You know, that's your connection. You built time on that relationship. And we're just so open-handed about connecting people that need to know each yeah. other. And we step out of the middle.
Right.
I just did it today with two people that I can't wait to see what God does with the connection.
Right.
Because I know something's going to happen. And it doesn't have anything to do with NCF South Florida, actually. It's totally outside of us. But it's connections I had through NCF. Mm-hmm. And these two people need to know each other. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the story.
Well, and you see that with ministries. I know of a ministry. Most of you, or all of you perhaps by now, are familiar with an app on the Bible that's on your phone. It's called the YouVersion Bible app. It's the premier.
I use it every day.
It's 600 million downloads when you think about it. In fact, if you look at the new Twitter, which is now called X, I believe they're at about the same number. So when you think about this app that's global, that is encouraging people to engage scripture all around the world. Well, that person who had the idea, I know the backstory of that, and hopefully one day we'll have a podcast and be able to share that. But the backstory is that person had an idea, went to a person he knew who had a connection with someone who was had a lot of wealth and was very generous, and this person was running a ministry, introduced this person to their number one donor and said to the number one donor, you need to meet this guy who's got this vision for this Bible app. The number one donor started funding the Bible app. But today, all three of them, dear friends, and continue to collaborate.
Yeah.
But most of us would say, I'm never going to introduce this
exactly.
donor because he may or she may start giving to them and not to me. So even that act.
Right.
is important. So, okay, the other one is
we redefine generosity and reimagine our communities.
What does that mean to you?
Wow. That's the reason I'm here, honestly, is the reimagining our communities. About 10 years ago, I was in a very high-level position in the corporate world, and I was drowning without community. I was praying. I remember it vividly. I was praying at the time for a godly community. I had a lot of acquaintances, friends, close friends, people around me, family. On the exterior seemed like a really great life, but I didn't. I was going deeper and deeper in my with my relationship with the Lord, and I didn't have anybody to talk to about. I didn't have anybody to run questions by. I tried a couple of community groups at my church, and they didn't really fit me. Like, there was ones for moms, and I was a mom, but I was a working mom, and I couldn't really relate to the other people. There was ones for single. I was single, still am, but that group didn't work for me either. So, like, I need to develop community, and how am I going to do that? And I was, during that time, I was introduced to the National Christian Foundation through LifeWork Leadership. And I walked in the door hesitant because I'm like, I don't need this leadership program. But I came anyways and sat down and started to experience community. And I realized that there were plenty of other business people like me out there that loved the Lord, but also wanted to figure out how to integrate their faith into their business life. And I met my tribe, and that happened through LifeWork Leadership, one of our programs here at NCF South Florida.
I think that it is one of the badge of honors that we get to sort of talk about, and it's the flag we get to wave, because we often think of our work about, you know, the monies that go out into our communities and around the world, and certainly that's a pretty cool story, but oftentimes, our clients will come to us and say, yeah, but don't forget to tell the community story. Don't forget to tell all the things we get to do together.
Right.
And the fact that my new friends are related to this community.
I mean, yes.
I think you've had that situation where you go, honestly, my best friends now are part of the same community.
Yeah. Everything in my life changed, actually. I left the corporate world. I used to live out west in Plantation. I moved east because my community was here and the people I was interacting with and the Bible studies that I was going to and the church groups. And we started a giving circle, Strike Force, that started out with, you know, five women and has grown to over 250 women being involved and men too. And that's community. That has really just transformed me. So for sure, that has changed everything.
Yeah, and we do some cool things to create community because everybody has maybe different appetites about what they want in community. You know, number one, we're very focused on the local church. So we always want to push people to be part of and engaged in their local church. So NCF is never going to be your church. We're going to spotlight the local church. A lot of our number one recipient of the giver, the money that flows out of this based upon our giver's passion for the local church is the local church. But then you think of LifeWork Leadership, a program that we started almost 20 years ago in partnership with another program, and it morphed into LifeWork Leadership. But this idea is men and women coming and spending, in essence, 8-9 months together, a half a day a month, learning about how to integrate their faith and their work. Convene, CEO, business owner forum groups, same group meets every month for a day, trained facilitator, very confidential, very private. They don't just get together to build community, but they're building each other's businesses because that's their desires. I want to be super successful, but I want to do it with godly principles and I want to do it in community. Church United, how do we bring community around pastors, youth pastors, you know, worship leaders? Mission increase.
Yeah.
Same thing. Gosh. Yeah.
Seeing nonprofits come together and learn together and work together is so wonderful. That was one of my pet peeves as when I was outside of the community and wanting to give, was that nonprofits didn't work together. There was so much more they could be doing if they just leveraged each other and stopped trying to recreate everything. And so Mission Increase is one that I think is just a wonderful thing to see happening.
Yeah. And for those who may not be familiar with Mission Increase, it's basically a program that we have that nonprofits can participate in and learn how to be better at being a nonprofit. But as Lori just said, the byproduct is, rather than looking at each other's competitors, they look at each other's collaborators.
Right.
Which is, again, redefining generosity. Rather than seeing you the enemy, you're actually my friend, and I can learn from you. And we hear that from our clients, our givers, who go, hey, confidentially, secretly, behind closed doors, why do these organizations don't get along, and yet they all come to me and ask for money? Or why do these churches not work together, and there seems to be one on every corner, and they're half empty? I don't get it. So again, those opportunities to talk about redefining generosity and reimagining communities. Plus, it's a lot of fun because reimagining means you can always come up with creative ideas.
Right.
And we're always thinking, well, let's try this, let's try that, you know, those kind of things. It's very important. So
I think of some of the trips we've taken and the families that have gone on those trips that have now become lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people, myself included, who have now done business with other people that we've met through the connections and the community that we have developed through LifeWork and Convene and all of those things.
Yeah, and I think also one of the beauties of South Florida is we're such a diverse community, and particularly through our Church United and Mission Increase expressions, we're seeing a lot of intentionality of bringing together the diversity of the communities, especially if there's a tragedy. You mentioned a hurricane. You mentioned at an earlier podcast where we saw some givers, but we've also seen a lot of people from different communities collaborate around a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we've seen people collaborating around issues. And we're living in very divisive times. We're living where everybody's got very strong political opinions, very strong opinions about a lot of things, almost everything everybody's got an opinion about nowadays. And it's taxing.
Right.
And it can become something that really, you know, sucks the life out of community, because you go, you know, this whole cancel culture, well, I don't want community because you don't agree with me or you argue with me, so I'm going to just isolate. And to actually be counterintuitive and countercultural and go, no, actually the church, God's design, is all about community. And so we're going to propagate that, and we're going to walk through those minefields, and we're going to do it by pointing people back to scripture, back to the principles that God laid out for all of us. So redefining generosity and reimagining our communities always goes back to our playbook, the Bible, God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And God's pretty good at reimagining and redefining a lot of cool stuff.
Sure is. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, we think God's pretty cool around here. So our mission is, Lori?
We redefine generosity and reimagine our communities.
Let's keep doing it. We want you guys to join us.
Thank you for being here today.